Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Party people, can you get funky? So sign and phone, can you get funky? The Zulu Nation, can you get funky? Yeah, just hit me. Just hit funk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm on the East Coast. And guess what? I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And as always, this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place to be, and I like to always say, you may be get tired of saying it, but I like saying it because it makes me feel good. The place to be if you want to talk to the one and only me. Got a great show in store for you today. We're going to continue the conversation from yesterday on the FSP show. It was at 1 o'clock. I hosted that show. We were talking completely about the NFL. Going to try to squeeze besides the NFL. We're going to try to get a little bit more versatile here. The NBA, maybe a little bit of MLB, Major League Baseball. But there's a lot of things going on in football. A lot of things going on in football. Let's get right to it. All right. I looked up on the airwaves, and I saw it yesterday, but I didn't mention it. But as you know, people, that you follow football, 49ers are having an interesting offseason, to say the least. After closing out a frustrating 2014 season in which they finished 8-8, and really, it snapped a three-year NFC title game streak. The organization that had fans drooling over themselves over the last few years are now being asked some heavy questions like, what are we doing? Where are we going? What's this team going to look like this year? For instance, they dumped coach Jim Harbaugh and then stayed within the organization and picked a little known coach, except for within the organization of the 49ers, Jim Tomsula, as his replacement. And quite naturally, including myself, yours truly, started to question how bright is this future going to be with Coach Jim Tomsula. They opened up a new stadium about 7 months ago, 14 months after their third straight NFC game title, appearance, I should say. They signed defensive lineman Darnell Dockett, which was a positive move, I should say. And it got him at a decent price. But, and this is where the butt comes in, the other butt. They signed a wide receiver that's had issues off the field, out of the league last season, wasn't even playing last season. Jerome Simpson. I'll say it again. They signed a player that has legal issues off the field, numerous, not just one, didn't play last year at all, to a two-year deal, and I'm talking about Jerome Simpson. And you know who was questioning that move? The team owner. Yes, team people. The team owner. Mr. York was baffled when asked what he thought of the acquisition. Said you have to ask Trent. I mean, Trent Baalke. I don't know what the thinking was. Well, that doesn't sound like they have the endorsement of the owner to sign a player that hadn't played last year, had legal troubles off the field. And, I mean, honest, I can understand it. What do you got to lose? You signed him to a two-year deal, but what do you got to lose? If he pans out, fine. If he doesn't, you just let him go. But why even go through that drill? There's plenty other receivers out there. Why sign this guy? I'm just saying. And speaking of the 49ers, this little tidbit came out of just saw this on RotoWorld that the Eagles. Now, we talked about the Eagles last week. Yesterday. And how they, in my opinion, screwed up that trade. Well, believe it or not, NJ.com reports that the Eagles have serious interest in free agent. Now get this. Frank Gore. What? Yeah, Frank Gore. Per reporter Elliot Shore Parks, the interest is supposedly mutual, and a deal could be done as early as Tuesday. Now, in another report, the 49ers said that they're, and I don't know if it's just a PR move, just to placate the fans or whoever. But the 49ers said that they want to keep Frank Gore. They're going to find a way to keep him. My opinion, I have several people that I know, including my a nephew, who's a diehard 49er fan, and we text back and forth about this. And I'm saying this, and I say it to anybody who's a 49er fan. It's time for Frank Gore. Hate to say it. He's been a hell of a player. But he's what, 31, 32 going to be this year? If the Eagles want to spend money on Frank Gore, now he's looking for $4 million a year. That's considerably cheaper than LeSean McCoy. But Frank Gore is no LeSean McCoy. They're two different type of backs. And I don't know if you could even come close to the kind type of production you can get for Frank Gore that you got with LeSean McCoy. Now, supposedly, the Eagles want to go to a running back by committee, the dreaded running back by committee, which I don't like. And a lot of people don't like. And this is Sunday. Tuesday, all hell's going to break loose. I can see that. There's going to be some guys that are going to sign up. And I'm going to go over some of them that were on a free agent market but are no longer going to be. Deal's been done. All they have to do is just put pen to paper and sign a contract on Tuesday. But Frank Gore to the Eagles. Frank Gore is pretty opinionated too. It's not he's not a, you know, shut your mouth and do your job type of guy. Frank Gore will voice his opinion. Just look at what happened last year when he felt he wasn't getting the ball enough. So be careful what you wish for, Chip. Be careful what you wish for. In other news, one of the last things I talked about yesterday on the FSP show, that's 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday, was one of the other high-profile free agents that are going to be highly sought after. Well, guess what? Teams that, and he had about 6 or 7 suitors, from what I understand, he had about 6 or 7 teams at least that were trying to get him to come to their team. Talking about Randall Cobb. He's going to be staying with the Pack for 4 years at $40 million. That's $10 million a year. I talked about this yesterday. Exactly talked about this yesterday. There was talk about him taking a $1 to $2 million cut, or a hometown discount, I should say. And guess what? I was right. That $2 million cut, because supposedly he was looking for a $11 million contract. And if it was a $2 million hometown discount, I would think he would probably walk and go somewhere else. So they cut it to one. Because $2 million is a pretty big hometown discount, like I had said yesterday. $1 million, that's fine. $1 million, I mean, it's still $1 million, but in salary for a professional football player with the possibility, definitely going to the playoffs, playing with one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league, and a strong possibility of being able to get your second Super Bowl ring. Sounds like a no-brainer to me. Why go somewhere, make $11 million with no hope of getting to the Super Bowl? Maybe, if things fall right, you get to the playoffs. But some of the teams that were trying to court Randall Cobb, they were years away from getting to the playoffs. 29 years old. I'm sorry. He's between the ages 25, 28, okay? At 29 years old, he still be able to hit free agency again at 29. In my opinion, these are his prime years, and he wants to maximize them out with the best quarterback, like I said, and he's getting $10 million. I mean, he's got the best of both worlds. $10 million, still stays on the team that drafted him originally, still playing with the same offense, doesn't have to change anything, doesn't have to uproot him or his family or whatever type of family he has, and he's ready to roll. Just got paid. Two high salaried quarterbacks, two high salary wide receivers and a high salaried quarterback. That's a heck of a trio, along with a dynamic back in Eddie Lacy. Now the pieces are in place on the offensive side without missing a beat. They keep everyone intact for the most part. Now they have to worry in the draft and in maybe going into free agency with some other players of getting defensive players. They let A.J. Hawk go. They're probably looking for the draft linebacker to take his spot. But Packers are in good shape. Didn't think Randall Cobb was going back there. I really didn't. And like I said about the Frank Gore and the Eagles showing mutual interest, Eagles also have interest in Seahawks cornerback or DB, whatever you want to say it, in Byron Maxwell. They're definitely trying to get out front of signing a free agent, Byron Maxwell. They're also going to try to go after the New England Saints cornerback. They're trying to shore up their defense. They have pieces in place, some pieces in place on offense, but their main downfall last year, since Chip Kelly's been there, is their defense. They need to shore up their defense. So Byron Maxwell and Devin McCourty, they have plenty of cap space that should be able to go after one or two of these guys. Byron Maxwell is probably going to try to get about $10 million out of whoever grabs him. So just have to wait and see what happens in that front. But things are going to start flying. Guys are going to start continually go off the board. And Randall Cobb was one of them. And I expect in the next couple of days you'll be hearing about some of these other big high-profile free agents. And I think I said yesterday, but I'll reiterate it today. It looks like Dominic Sue is penned or definitely going to the Dolphins. According to Yahoo's Charles Robinson, people around the league are talking about free agent Dominic Sue to the Dolphins as if it already happened. It seems like a rumor much more than a report, so approach it with some caution. Robertson says league sources are treating DeMarco Murray to Dallas as if it's a done deal as well, though the Cowboys beat reporters dispute that idea. Either way, the Dolphins are clearly the early front runners, to land in Dominic Sue. Quite naturally, I've said it more than once, he wouldn't be able to put pen to paper until Tuesday. And rumors are rumors, and until they sign on a dotted line, it's not a finalized deal. Now, I'll take a step back and say this. All these other deals I was talking about, they can't agree to a deal. Or, let me put it this way. They can't agree to a deal, but you have to be careful here because then it's a slippery slope here. This would be a hypothetical. Let me put it that way. So, and let me see if I can phrase this as I want to. Say you're an agent. And you're talking to a team, and rather say it's a done deal, he says, so suppose you gave my client, and this is just a hypothetical, and he's saying this, just a hypothetical. Suppose you gave my client 4 years, $40 million. Would that be agreeable to you in a hypothetical situation? And the team would say, hypothetically, I think you're right. That I think we could do that. Well, supposedly, hypothetically, the Dominic Sue, like I said, it's not done until you put pen to paper. Plain and simple, got to put pen to paper. And then I feel it's done. Texans signed a couple of guys that they were free agents. And because I'm going down the list, it's not because I'm a Texan fan, because I'm going down a list that I'm looking at. Kareem Jackson signed a 4-year contract for $34 million. $20 million guaranteed. Right tackle, Derek Newton, signed a five-year contract, $26.5 million, with $10 million guaranteed. Reason I'm saying that, he was the highest in Pro Football Focus's highest grade run blocker among right tackles last season. And the Redskins were looking at him. And in 2011, he was a seventh-round pick. So if you can get that type of production from a seventh-round pick, and he's only 27, soon to be 28 this year, you got to keep him. There's no two ways about it. Tackles, able tackles, especially when you have a seventh rounder. So you got him. Excuse me. So you got him cheaply because he was a seventh round pick, and now you're paying him, but you saved all that money prior to the end of his rookie contract. Now you got, he still got value. $26.5 million and $10 million guaranteed. That's a good deal to me. You got Kareem Jackson. Now I'm not a real big Kareem Jackson fan, but he graded out as Pro Football Focus's number 11 corner. So he wasn't too bad. I'm sorry. But he's not yet 27 years old. He'll be 27 this year. So he's still young and he still can improve. And God help me, I don't know why, but the Texans are on Brian Hoyer. I don't know why. I talked about it in length yesterday, and I'm not going to go back into it today. But that's disturbing to me. Let's talk about another guy that we had penned going somewhere else, or thought going somewhere else, because of the exorbitant amount of money that the Saints were over their salary cap. Well, guess what? Mark Ingram, and I would say they got him at a very good price, a very good price. So he must have wanted to stay in. He signed a four-year deal, $16 million. 4 years, $16 million. So do the math. $4 million a year. That's cheap for a running back. And he had one of his best years last year. Ran for 964 yards, 9 touchdowns, and he missed 3 games because he was injured. Still know that they have Kerry Robinson and Travis Kadet. And they got rid of Pierre Thomas. And he's only 25 years old. So this contract, if he maxes this out for 4 years, he's going to be just short or right on at age 30. And just for a little side note, for those Mark Ingram detractors, guys that don't like Mark Ingram, how about 4.65 yards per carry over his last 23 games. So he's been a very productive back. And if you can get him for that money, why not? The Saints are still about $15 million over the cap. Worst in the league. Worst in the league. They cut players and got cap space, had guys restructure their contracts, and got it down from 28. They were down $28 million over the cap. And now it's a little less than half that, about $15 million. So that front office is doing a hell of a job trying to get their act together, doing a hell of a job. Talk about this guy because he's one of the highest sought tight ends, and more than likely he won't come back to Denver. Because he's asking for too much, and Denver may have some—I wouldn't say better alternative, but at least a capable alternative. Now you have to understand that if you have a tight end in that Gary Kubiak offense, the tight end's going to have an important role, having the outside wide receivers along with the slot. You're going to have a tight end, and this is the reason why I'm talking in fantasy. A tight end in a Gary Kubiak's offense. Look at what happened in Baltimore. Especially look what happened with tight end play when he coached the Texans. Just look at the history of these head coaches or offensive coordinators when they get to a certain team, like North Turner, like Gary Kubiak, players at certain positions, especially I'm talking about on the offensive side of the ball, are going to excel. Either the running back, the wide receivers, and exactly what I'm talking about is the tight end. And with Gary Kubiak in the Denver Broncos, along with Peyton Manning being a stud, along with the wide receivers, talking about Emmanuel Sanders on one side, Demaryius Thomas on the other side, and if Wes Welker, more than likely, he will or won't come back or gets released or whatever, there's always Cody Latimer, second, third-year player, that can take a spot in the slot. And then you have the tight end, whoever it may be. That tight end position is going to be, and Peyton Manning likes the tight end, throwing to the tight end position. Bails him out. He can throw a quick pass down the middle, over the middle. So that tight end position in that Gary Kubiak offense with Peyton Manning as a quarterback is going to be important. Just remember that, fantasy football fans. If you're looking for a tight end, deep into your draft, and I'll keep on reiterating this up until August, up until fantasy football season starts. You're going to look for hidden gems like that. Spots where you can pick up somebody that other people aren't thinking about because they're so busy looking at the names, quarterback, name running back, the name wide receiver, the name tight end. Look at the offensive coordinator. Look at the type of offense they run. That's key. You could pick up a running back, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end. In later rounds, and give you round one production. And we'll be going over that in the coming months on where to find these guys, what team to find them on, and give you reason why, or give my opinion why. Anyway, Julius Thomas is reportedly a major priority for the Jaguars. You have to wait and see what happens there. But the Jaguars are going to be one of the guys heavy into Julius Thomas, trying to get him. And you have to think that Mercedes Lewis, who was in and out because of his health issues, but when he was in there, he was a decent option for a young quarterback. And like I say, for a young quarterback, best friend. tight end. Get that ball, get rid of that ball. Got nowhere else to go, get rid of the ball. Tight end's right in the middle of the field. And safe pass, dump it off the tight end, let him do his thing. You got an athletic tight end like Julius Thomas or some of these other athletic tight ends. You can do some damage. Remember that. All right. What we're going to do is this. We're going to take a quick break. Pause for the cause. And then we'll come back and continue the conversation. You listen to the master plan. And stay with us while we take a break, and we'll be right back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, all right, all right. We're back. We are back to the master plan. We're back to the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the one and only me. All right. All right. We've been talking about free agency, the NFL, and what's been happening with the recent signing, recent agreements, let me put it that way. They've agreed in principle. There we go. Agreed in principle. Meaning it ain't a done deal. We just agreed to it, but it's not done until we put pen to paper. I always say that. Not done until we put pen to paper. Let's move on to another big name free agent who got franchise tag. He's no longer a free agent, and he's not happy about it. And he's him and his agent actively trying to go and get some offer sheets in the hope that Kansas City won't match it. I'm talking about Justin Houston. Is extremely unhappy after getting tagged earlier this week. And it's already, like I said, is trying to get others' teams to make some offers. He's 26 years old, had 22 sacks, and quite naturally, when you're that young and you're that active and that much you have that much production, you're going to get some. You're going to draw some interest. This is the problem of signing offer sheet to Justin Houston. A team signing him to an offer sheet would have to pay. Justin Houston, okay, quite naturally, when they sign him to whatever offer sheet they agree to, and also give up two first-round draft picks and give them to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, in essence, you're taking Justin Houston and you're giving up two first round draft picks. So, you know, there's one team that I can see doing that because I think they have two picks this year. If I'm not mistaken, they do have two picks this year. I think it's Cleveland. Cleveland has two picks. And I'm looking that up right now to find out what's the draft order. And Cleveland's picking at 12. And they're picking at 19. Yes, they do have two draft picks. So, in essence, the only team that I can see doing that would be the Cleveland Browns. Taking Justin Houston. And they have other needs rather than give up a first-round draft pick this year and possibly another one next year or the year after. So the chances are Justin Houston going to another team or slim to none. But there's always a possibility. You know, they signed a franchise tag, and I think they have until sometime in July to actually sign a contract to take him off that franchise tag. So, excuse me, dealing with cold people. But there's still a possibility that Justin Houston will not go to another team and sign a contract and be taken off that franchise tag. They just franchise him to limit him being able to go to a team freely. Freely. So they're going to get some compensation back if someone else signs him to an offer sheet. Someone wants them that bad to sign him to an offer sheet. Now, Cincinnati can use him because they are probably one of the worst teams in the league in pass rush. In fact, they were one of the worst teams in the league in pass rush. But Cincinnati is picking 21st in the draft. With only one pick. There's only one team that has multiple picks in the first round. Not to say that teams won't maneuver come draft day to get more than one pick in the first round. But right now, as it stands, Cleveland is the only team at 12 and 19 with two picks in the first round. All right, let's move on to the Let me think of something else here. Oh, I don't know if I talked about Reggie Wayne yesterday, but I'm talking about him again today. He's willing to play for a contender. Quite naturally, he's not with the Saints. Come on, Jerry. He's not with the Colts anymore. But he's willing to, and quite naturally, he's going to take a secondary role. He's not going to be the main guy anymore. But he said he will listen if a contender calls him. That could be Denver. That could be New England. I can't see New England. That could be Seattle. San Diego, and I'm just throwing contenders out there, guys that are either in the playoffs or have been close to get to the playoffs. Cincinnati. Let me try to think here. Wouldn't be Dallas. And more likely, he would probably want to stay in the AFC because that's the type of player. He's an AFC type of guy. Could be Baltimore. I kind of doubt. I think I probably named the teams that he would go to. Broncos, Patriots. I doubt if he would go back to the Colts. Baltimore, those type of teams. Wouldn't be Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got a crew of young quick wide receivers: Antonio Brown, Martavius Bennett. Martavius Bryant, and. I don't think they would take him. I don't think they would take him. All right, let's move on here. We're going to talk this way. Let's move on to the NBA. How about we do that? We'll go this way. Your thoughts on the state of the NBA? We've got James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Stephon Curry in the running. And quite naturally, I think they're even thinking about LeBron James being in the running for the MVP. Seems like because of recent feats of Russell Westbrook and his, four games of triple-double to the fray of the conversation about the MVP. I think supposedly the leading contender now is James Harden. I beg to differ. I think the leading guy in this is still Stephon Curry. Why he's being downplayed now? Flavor of the week, maybe the flavor of the month, in James Harden or Russell Westbrook. But the body of work that, in my opinion, that Stephon Curry has been laying down from the beginning of the season up until this point, in my opinion, he's the MVP. Where would that team be? Now, I can understand when you talk about that. You know, when I say that statement, that there's going to be guys or people, I shouldn't say guys, but people that say, well, and you know what I'm going to say next. Where would that team be if they didn't have Stephon Curry, if he was hurt? Same can be said, where would that team be if Russell Westbrook, who's been the steadier one, other than Kevin Durant, who's been in and out of the lineup with injury, the reigning MVP from last year, or James Harden, who doesn't have Dwight Howard out there because he's hurt. And so you can make a statement, you can make a case, I should say, for all three of those guys when I say, where would that team be without, and you just plug in a name. But in my opinion, who has the better record? And people like numbers, people like statistics, who has the better record? And I'm going to get to that right now. So we can see who has the better record. Let's go to the West. Oklahoma City is 34-28, games over 500. Houston is 43-20, 23 games over 500. Who has the best record in basketball? The second best record in basketball? Golden State Warriors. And it's very close to being the best record. At one point, they did have the best record. 48-12. That's right. 48-12. 36 games over. 36 games more. They won than they lost. 48-12. 48-12. Winning percentage is .800. Atlanta at 49-13. They played one more game than two more games. I'm sorry, two more games than Golden State. Atlanta's home record is 29-4. Golden State's record at home 26-2. They've only lost two games at home. Houston's 24-9. Oklahoma City is 20-8. So, in my book, you want to play the numbers? Look at the numbers. Look at where the team is. Who's more important? Oklahoma City is holding on to the eighth spot. Holding on to the eighth spot in a playoff hunt. Golden State in the West is at the number one spot. So they have the best record in the West. Houston is in the number three spot. So when you talk about the MVP, when you talk about James Harden should have the MVP, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. The numbers being, where's your team at right now? What kind of record does your team have? How well do they perform on the road? How well do they perform at home? Oklahoma City on the road is 14-20. 14-20. Houston is 19-11. Okay. Golden State is 22-10. Not that much of a difference. But the difference is Golden State's got the number one seed. Where would they be at if they didn't have Stephon Curry playing night in and night out? Would they have the number one seed? I don't think so. Would they be below Houston? It's a possibility. It's a strong possibility. They score 109 points, almost 110 points a game, while holding the defense, or holding their opposition to 99.7. Houston scores 103.3 points a game. With the same results on the other side. So Houston plays tighter games than Golden State. Oklahoma, it's even worse than that. They score 102.5 points a game. They allow 99.5. So their margin for error is very slim. That's why they're 34-28. So you tell me that Russell Westbrook is more of an MVP than Stephon Curry. James Harden is more of an MVP than Stephon Curry. Just look at the numbers. Look at the winning percentage. Look at the wins and losses of all three of these teams. And who scores what and whose defense is better. true, Oklahoma City is a little better defense, but they score less too. Golden State outscores their opponent. Golden State outscores their opponent by 10 points on average every game, where Houston outscores their opponent on average less than 4 points. And quite naturally, Oklahoma is worse than that, outscores their opponent about 3 points. Who's the most valuable player? You take Stephon Curry out of that lineup, all right? You got more losses, quite naturally. You take James Harden, you take Russell Westbrook out of the lineups of those respective teams, and you got the same results. You're going to have a worse record. Where are they at now with those respective players in their lineup? Golden State's the number one seed in the West right now. Houston's the number three seed. Oklahoma City is the number eight seed and holding on to that by their teeth because New Orleans is right on their heels. And so if they hiccup or sleep on it, they can drop out of the seeding of the playoffs. Eighth, I think, get to ninth, tenth, and struggling back to get to that eighth. New Orleans is right on their heels. Phoenix is not too far off from there. Phoenix is 33-31. So Oklahoma City can't afford to have a bad game or a bad series of games. When are these other superstars coming back? Dwight Howard, Kevin Durant. This is March. Playoffs start, what, in April, June? May, June? Better hope it's soon so they can get back into basketball shape so they can help their team. Because right now, especially Oklahoma, they're hanging on by their fingernails. And it's going to be pretty close to going to the wire if they can stay in that eighth seed. Or even, luckily, and good luck trying to move up. San Antonio's right above them at 7. San Antonio, world champs last year at 7. Dallas is up there, too. So are the Clippers. Look at the teams that are ahead of Oklahoma City. Like I said, Golden State's the first seed. Memphis is 44-18. They're not catching Memphis unless they go completely downhill. Houston is 43-20. Portland is 41-20. Clippers are 40-22. Dallas is 40-24. And San Antonio is 38-23. In my opinion, the only way the Oklahoma City's Thunder can go is down. I don't think they're catching any of these teams above them. Don't think they could catch any teams before them, but above them. They played 62 games. 20 games are left. 20 games are left. I don't think it's happening. They're 15 games out of first place in Western. They're 15 games out of where Golden State is. I don't think they're catching any of these teams. Unless one of these teams has a catastrophic. Now, Portland did have a catastrophic with Wesley Matthews going down with a torn Achilles. How that hurts them, we'll have to wait and see. Well, Wesley Matthews was a key player for the Portland Trailblazers. But I don't think Oklahoma is going to be able to catch him. I don't think Portland's going to have all of a sudden a huge collapse. Well, we have to wait and see. Have to wait and see. I wanted to get to this guy also. And I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite players, but I want to talk about three guys that two of them are controversial, and one is coming back from an ACL. Tommy John surgery. First, I'm talking about A-Rod. I know people, you've heard me talk about A-Rod before, but I'm going to talk about A-Rod. He's coming back. He's going to be 40 years old. He's coming back off of a year suspension. People sure have a lot of resentment for A-Rod, think that he's not going to be playing that well, and also that we're going to be going over a little overtime, just a little bit, because I want to get a couple points out. But I think A-Rod, in my opinion, hit about 260 in that range. I know that. And hit about at least 20 home runs. I definitely think he's going to hit at least 20 home runs. And as the training camp goes along, preseason goes along, he's going to get in better shape. And barring injury, now that's the catch-all, because it's barring injury, I think he's going to hit about 260 and hit about 20 home runs. I really believe that. And he'll never get rid of the stigma of taking performance-enhancing drugs. That's not happening. I think he goes out and does his thing for as long as he can do it. The Yankees are going to have to pay him. They're saying they're not going to pay him up all of his bonuses, but it is what it is. The other guy I want to talk about, and this guy, in my opinion, is an enigma. And I don't know whether to feel sorry for this guy or just give up on this guy, but I'm talking about Josh Hamilton. And that saying that he had regressed, had backslided, had suffered a relapse, involved in the use of cocaine and alcohol in off-season. And that I guess the Major League Baseball is trying to decide what kind of punishment they're going to give Josh Hamilton. The Los Angeles Angels Josh Hamilton issued a statement critical of Newsweek that calls it cowardly and intended to hurt Hamilton personally and professionally. It is regrettable that people who want to see Josh Hamilton hurt personally and professionally have started leaking information about the status of his treatment program and the confidential processes under our joint drug agreement. That's a quote coming from the union. Those anonymously leaks. These anonymous leaks are cowardly, undermine the integrity of our collectively bargained agreements, and in some instances have been wholly inaccurate. The Major League Baseball Players Association will use every right we have under the collective bargaining agreement to make sure Josh gets the help he needs and the fair and confidential process to which he is entitled. Now, the commissioner's office and the Major League Baseball Player Association each appointed a lawyer and a physician to a committee to determine whether the drug policy was violated and decide on a course of treatment, according to the report in the Los Angeles Times. the committee deadlocked on a course of treatment, necessitating the involvement of an arbitrator who will break the split decision. Quite naturally, he's 33 years old, and he's well documented in his substance abuse problems, dating back to the minor leagues when he was suspended from baseball from February 2004 to 2006. And that had to do with cocaine and also alcohol. One of the conditions of Hamilton's reinstatement in 2006 was that he would undergo drug testing 3 times a week. He had alcohol relapses in 2009 and 2012, but recovered to win the American League MVP award, Texas Rangers, in 2010, and appear in consecutive World Series in 2010 and 2011. Quite naturally, whatever the arbitrator decides will affect Hamilton's $25 million salary he's owed this season. Paid his full salary for 30 days and a half, and half his salary for the next 30 days, which equates to about $6.2 million in total if in rehab. He would not be paid if suspended and not in treatment. Very interesting. This guy has had multiple chances. And still, both sides can't agree upon what kind of, quite naturally, he's going to get some type of punishment, but what kind of course of action they should have with this guy. I'm just saying, where's the uproar, people? Where's the uproar? I'm just saying, for those who can understand what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. All right, we come to the end of the show. We went over a little bit, but I ensured the conversation, even though it was only with myself, which is fine. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the master, that's me, JT, and the master plan is the show. We'll be back. We'll be talking about more free agents, definitely, along with whatever else interesting comes up in the week of sports. But come back. Enjoy it. Catch us in the archives. If you haven't catching us, if you don't catch us live, I hope you enjoyed the conversation of what I've said in the archives. Catch all our shows in the archives. FSP, which was on Saturday, but you can catch it in the archive anytime you want, along with the FSP Crew Show. Like I said, I am the host, and I appreciate you listening. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Well, rest of your Sunday morning, I should say, and then continue into your Sunday afternoon. Have a good week. Hope to see you hear you. Hope to see you back here again listening to this show. We really appreciate it, each and every one of you. That, we are going out of here. Let's rock.
Party people, say yo, get funky. So sign and phone, say yo, get funky. The Zulu Nation.